Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. The Milwaukee Bucks ignited a wave of boycotts in protest of the police shooting of Jacob Blake when they refused to play Game 5 against the Orlando Magic. The postponement of multiple NBA playoff games, followed with WNBA players boycotting their games, Major League Baseball calling off two games, extended to soccer, even tennis, when Naomi Osaka declined to play her match today. We're joined now by Adonal Foyle, 13-year NBA veteran, player advocate and author and co-founder of Democracy Matters. Adonal Foyle, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Joel Anderson, staff writer for Slate. He hosted season 3 of the Slow Burn podcast and previously reported on sports, culture, and politics for ESPN and BuzzFeed. Glad to have you here as well, Joel Anderson.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
And I don't know if you caught a little bit of my conversation with Sean Johnson earlier, but before we get into the sports world, I do just want to get your reaction to what you were hearing him describe as how the situation has played out and what we've learned about the police response in Kenosha.
Well, I don't know if that question's for me or Donald, but yeah, I mean, I think obviously it's been a mess. There's been conflicting information about, you know, where the people stand. I mean, because obviously, you know, the governor has called in for the National Guard, but has seemed to intimate that he has some sympathies with the protesters on the street. And that's confusing. And it probably is infuriating to people that are out there pressing him to do more, pressing the attorney general there to do more. And so you can totally imagine that, you know, he probably doesn't know where to go right now, and neither do the people that would like to see change, you know, and would like to see the officers in Kenosha charged in the shooting of Jacob Blake. So, like, as with anything else, man, it's just very, it's very difficult to know where to direct your anger or direct your frustration at right now.
Yes, and I think we're even seeing that play out among the athletes, right? I mean, we've heard that the NBA players have agreed to resume playoffs. Do you know anything about how they may have came to that decision?
Well, I don't want to pretend as if I've been in the meetings there, but what it seems like is that what happened yesterday was a very organic thing, right? That the Milwaukee Bucks had discussed among themselves that they did not want to play, and when they arrived at the court, did the Orlando Magic realize, oh wow, wait, they're not going to play? Well, we're going to stand with them, and then the rest of the league had to fall in behind them. It wasn't necessarily an organized action. And so overnight, you know, there's been a lot of dissension. There's been a lot of, you know, debate amongst the players themselves about what is the best course of action. And so when you get up this morning and cooler heads, I guess for lack of a better term, have prevailed. There are a lot of financial implications if they were to call off the rest of the season. And I mean, that's just hard to walk away from. You know, there's hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, at stake here. And I think it just shows that, you know, even people that are very rich, they have a lot of financial incentives to go along, to get along right now.
Yeah, I mean, Adonal Foyle, can you talk about how extraordinary this move was by the Bucks yesterday and just generally the effect that it had on other sports as well?
Yeah, I think one of the most difficult thing, you know, for our players is that they've been feeling very isolated in a bubble. So they're trying to play basketball in one of the most greatest pandemic in a very long time. And what they're asked to do is to be away from the family and to be kind of a source of entertainment to a certain degree. And I think the players felt that there's too many things that are happening in the communities that they can't really respond to, and they don't feel like they wanted to play while all of these things are going on, and they're not given a voice to be able to articulate some of the frustrations that they have. So they're almost been isolated from the world, and then they're asked to continue to maintain that while the world seemed to be falling apart outside of the bubble. And I think that affected the players quite profoundly.
Yes, and then just generally, it's been so interesting that it really does feel like in the last few years, more players have been more vocal, taking stands on issues. I mean, that is pretty different from when you were playing, right? Like 10 years ago?
I think there's been the sports have always been a very interesting. So, you know, I've spent a lot of time with Tommy Smith, you know, from the, you look at the Olympics, the 68 Olympics. Mm-hmm. And then what you have is that sports have always been there. I talked to, you know, you have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you have Bill Russell. So we've had a very, really long history of political engagement and activism. But I do think that they've been a lull in that. And, you know, the last, when I was in the league, we had the war movement, the anti-war movement, you know, going against Iraq. And I think Steve Nash and I have been some of the advocates and advocating against that. And but you see now, I think with the advent of everyone having a cell phone in their hands, they're never away from the community like it used to be in the past. So usually when you make it to the NBA, you almost detached from your community. And I think now what you're seeing is that players are very much connected to that because they have a phone, they're talking to people that they left behind, and those conversations are real, and they're listening to the impact it have and the communities.
And let me invite our listeners to join this conversation. Would love to hear what you think of the players boycotting their games, their matches. Would you support your favorite sports teams in joining boycotts like this? Give us a call, 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook at KQED Forum, or email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org. This listener writes, as best I can tell, these boycotts consisted of taking one day's rest. All the games will be rescheduled. Everybody still gets paid tens of thousands of dollars per game, and the season rolls on. There weren't even any fans present. Just how serious are these athletes? I mean, Joel Anderson, do you want to take a stab at that one in terms of whether, you know, how much impact in terms of moving the needle athletes doing these kinds of things have, especially if it's, I guess, short term, as this listener is pointing out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that listener is necessarily being fair, because like a lot of other people, and to Donald's point, I mean, these players are connected with people not only in their communities, but in their own families that are living with the reality that, you know, harms people like Jacob Blake and Elijah McCain and Breonna Taylor. And these players were viscerally and emotionally scarred by the events of the past few days, let alone everything else that's happened this summer. So I think that's why the strike happened in the way that it did, because it was, they were responding to the events on the ground and they were emotionally moved by it. And I'm just sort of reminded that it's not up to the NBA or the WNBA to be the social conscience of the country, or even that they should be tasked with setting an example like our, you know, for our federal government or anything like that. They're taking on a lot. Like, playing professional basketball is a chore unto itself. And to Donald's point, they are away from their families. They're away from their homes. They're isolated. And, you know, they have a right to be affected in the way that they are, and also to decide, you know what, I think maybe we can make more of an impact if we go back to playing games.
And maybe it'd be a good time actually to hear a little bit of Milwaukee Bucks guard Sterling Brown delivering part of the team's statement after deciding to boycott their playoff game yesterday. And it's worth noting that Brown was a victim of police violence in Milwaukee back in 2018 and raised awareness about the issue of police violence through a piece in the Players Tribune this past July titled "Your Money Can't Silence Me." Here it is.
Over the last few days in our home state of Wisconsin, we've seen the horrendous video of Jacob Blake being shot in the back 7 times by a police officer in Kenosha, and the additional shooting of protesters. Despite the overwhelming plea for change, there has been no action. So our focus today cannot be on basketball.
And then you mentioned the WNBA as well. And this listener writes, let's talk about the WNBA's action. Kneeling on the court, wearing shirts where the front had letters spelling Jacob Blake's name. The back had 7 bullet points drawn on the back. I mean, it is pretty extraordinary, Joel Anderson, when you think about 4 years ago today, Colin Kaepernick took a knee for the first time and the reaction that that got.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, we've really come, in a manner of speaking, a long way in those 4 years to where, you know, Colin Kaepernick was ostracized and ultimately banished from the NFL, to where now, you know, kneeling before the national anthem is sort of a that's the barrier for entry into activism and professional sports at this point, right? You know, it's something that everybody is doing across all sorts of leagues, even in baseball, which has very few black athletes. So, yeah, I've kind of been stunned, but I think that the world has changed, and I think that we, you know, the athletes are aware of that. Like, we didn't, back in 2016, you know, there were people that were smarter, or that should have been smarter, that thought that we were in a sort of post-racial moment. We were just coming up with the first Black president of the United States, and there was this, like, optimism, and the last 3 to 4 years have been really dark. And so now there's a lot more urgency behind the activism today than there would have been back then. And I mean, the only way that you can sort of think about it is that Colin Kaepernick was essentially sort of ahead of his time in that way.
Hmm. You know, we're getting a couple comments here. Lewis writes, it's a strike, not a boycott. Noel asks, isn't this really a strike instead of a boycott? I mean, can the NBA players technically strike Donald Foyle?
Yes, they can strike because they do have an agreement in place, but the agreement is already been set, and it does not expire for a while. But they do have the opportunity to have a grievance and to sit down and to articulate their concerns. Both parties can do that. So,
and is that what this is? I mean, is this a strike, or would you say it's a boycott?
This is more of a boycott. I think it was more of a work stoppage. You know, they did not want to play in this game. They felt like they couldn't. And so it was a work stoppage in order to assess, you know, the next move ahead.
Ah, well, let me go to Steve in Oakland. Hi, Steve. Join us. Hi, Steve. Are you there?
Are you there?
I'm sorry. Let me go next to Jim in Atlanta. Let's try that. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Go ahead. You're on.
So I want to say, not only do I support their message, but I know I support their right to do it. You know, I'm a veteran, and quite frankly, I find it disgusting that people say, well, it's against the flag or against the veterans. You know, we serve to protect people's rights, including their First Amendment rights. And, I mean, I think it's really disrespectful to say that somehow the First Amendment rights aren't important. So I just wanted to voice my support not only for their message, but for their absolute right to speak out.
Well, Jim, thanks for sharing that. And let me go next to Benjamin in Oakland. Hi, Benjamin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to kind of respond to one of the commenters saying that this move alone, regardless of how long of a commitment the players make, is a big deal. I agree, and I want to applaud the players. But I also really hope that they can follow through and do more. They've got an incredible platform, an incredible amount of power and platform. And I think if they commit to this, they could really disrupt business as usual and make a big impact. And I think that would really show that they're really about it and not just making a one-off move.
Donald, are there risks involved in them doing this, though? As much as people support it and would like to see more of it, I'd love to gauge just what the risks are for the players that they have to weigh.
And I think therein lies some of the larger concerns. We have a lot of players with a lot of different interests. To assume that they all have, you know, the same concern, it would be erroneous. They're going to be all over the spectrum. Some of them will want to not be involved any longer. Some of them want to stay. Some of them wouldn't want to be there. Some of them want to figure out a way to have more of an impact. So I think part of the challenge, you know, for leadership, not from only the union and the league, is to really sit down and really talk to these players and really engage their concerns. Because anyone who thinks that this is really one or two camps would be sadly mistaken. As someone who's been part of the association for a very long time, the thing that I know to be true is that players are very diverse in their beliefs and in their thinking and how they want to be politically engaged in this society. So that's part of what they were gauging, I think, in the last, you know, 24 hours, is to get a sense of whether there is consensus as to what the players wanted to do. And that, I think, takes a lot of time just to hear them out and to hear what their concerns are.
How shocked were you when the Bucks boycotted the game, a playoff game?
I mean, it was extraordinary. I could not believe that happened, and the way that it happened you can tell that it wasn't planned. It felt like it was just spontaneous because one team is on the court, the other one is having conversation in the back. And I think, you know, that tells you how difficult and how different it is for each of the players, you know, in the bubble, because they're trying to figure out and get a sense of what's happening in the community, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how to make an impact and how to make an impact so that the world could hear and see what's going on. A lot of them keep saying stuff like this has been going on for far too long. There need to be some more response to what's happening in our communities. And I think that's where you'll see more and more consensus as players start to really form around a single idea and really start understanding that they have a moral responsibility to change the world in which they find themselves.
And that idea even rippled to tennis. I mean, Naomi Osaka's statement, she writes, "Watching the continued genocide of Black people at the hand of the police is honestly making me sick to my stomach. I'm exhausted of having a new hashtag pop up every few days, and I'm extremely tired of having the same conversation over and over again. When will it ever be enough?" And Joel Anderson, I mean, you have done some reporting too about how immediately after George Floyd, a lot of police chiefs and leaders were saying sort of all the right things, right, in terms of really taking a good look at what was good policing. But what have you found more recently?
Well, I mean, I think an important thing to remember is that just in the last day, from the scene of the shootings in Kenosha, that where two protesters were killed just the other night by a 17-year-old kid that came up from Illinois, that earlier that night, that police officers had been consorting with and giving water bottles to people that were basically identified as white nationalists. You know
yes.
what I mean? And so it's really
armed militia. Yeah, mm-hmm. they were carrying military style weapons. Yes,
exactly. And so, I mean, the thing is that, you know, police chiefs can say and do a lot of good things. And I mean, you don't get to be a police chief unless you're a really good political figure. You have to sort of navigate the bureaucracy of a police department and get there. And so those are going to be the best of the department often when they get to that level. But the people on the ground, the cops on the ground, that's what people are interacting with on a day-to-day basis. And as we've seen, there's just not a lot of movement in terms of, you know, the numbers of unarmed Black people shot in this country. Like year over year, those numbers are fairly consistent. And so, obviously it's very frustrating to people because we talk about reform all the time. We talk about, you know, different ways in which, you know, police can do community policing, things like that. And it just doesn't work. And the problem is with policing itself, not, you know, the good intentions of police chiefs. And so like that's, you know, I mean, I think that, you know, that's what you saw the other night, that people are realizing that, you know what, we can play basketball, we can have Black Lives Matter on the court, we can have messages on our jerseys, and still at the end of the day, in the streets, we're going to have to interact with police that fundamentally think that this is the way policing is supposed to go.
Well, Kate writes, "I'm so proud of the NBA players for all their activism in the wake of protests against the ongoing systemic racism in the U.S. What I would love to see now is for the entire NBA to follow LeBron James' lead and start a massive voter registration effort." And Donald Foyle, we just have about 30 seconds, but could you talk a little bit about Democracy Matters in that time and tell people how they can get involved there?
Yeah, well, Democracy Matters really tried to answer the question, you know, how do we take back our political system really from the grasp of the torrential downpour of money within the system? I mean, we since Citizen United, we have seen an unprecedented rise in dark money in our system. And it's been our attempt that if you truly want a democracy that is responsive to the constituents of the law, you really have to get rid of money in power. You have to private money in politics.
Donald Foyle, NBA veteran, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Joel Anderson, a staff writer for Slate, really appreciate having you on as well.
I appreciate having you. Thanks.
And thank you. And we'll be talking more about how to make sure your vote is counted in the next segment. I'm Mina Kim. Stay with us.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.